Good morning, everyone. I'm Christopher Purdy, delighted to welcome you to today's edition of All Sides Weekend, where we discuss the arts and culture in Central Ohio. And I have three people who are very well positioned to give us a stimulating conversation on these topics, beginning with Milt Buffman, who is the director of the Greater Columbus Arts Council, GCAC. Janet Chen is the executive director of the Pro Musica Chamber Orchestra, and Steve Geyer, a co-founder and the artistic director of Shadowbox. And Steve Geyer and Janet Chen have something else in common. It's two little words, sold out. They are selling out presentations all around. So I thought for the first few minutes we would just go around and let people know what's going on with each of your organizations. And Milt, I think it was you said off mic, or there's so much talent in this town and there's so much going on that you need to be writing this down as we talk to you, okay, or go to the website. Janet Chen, tell me what Pro Musica is doing.
Well, conveniently, we have two concerts coming up this weekend. Tomorrow, Saturday, we will be at the Pontifical College Josephinum, which is sort of our second home. It's up in Worthington. And then Sunday, we're back downtown at the Southern Theater. We have two nights of an eclectic program that sort of spans 300 years of musical history. We have a guest conductor coming in who is sort of a candidate as part of our music director search, David Dansmeyer. He's Austrian and actually just flew in last night from Salzburg. So we're really excited to have him. He's doing two Haydn symphonies, including number 34 and the London Symphony, which is the last symphony that Haydn ever wrote, and a Piazzolla Four Seasons, which is a really fun piece, very tango-inspired.
Tango, yeah.
Yep, lots of fun. And then a Goliath piece. He's a contemporary composer, and his work, The Last Round. So,
just side note, I would really recommend that program because Goliath and Piazzolla are
fantastic.
Bring your dancing shoes. I'm sure nobody would object.
No stilettos.
Right. What does a music director do, and what does a search for a new one entail?
Lots of work, but it's been a very fun process. David is the fourth that we've seen this year so far. We've been really thrilled with the talent that's come in. It's engaged the board. It's engaged the organization. I think it has inspired our musicians and creates sort of this level of excitement that, one, everybody wants to heighten up the level because you never know what you're going to get. You sit on stage and your conductor walks out, and from that first downbeat, you're not quite sure how the chemistry is going to work. So there's that level of anticipation that I think has really been resonating positively with the organization.
It's interesting, too, because it's my understanding that Timothy Russell, who co-founded Pro Musica and who has been director ever since, so you are hiring the second music director only in the history of the organization.
You are right. We've never done this before, so there's a lot of thought and being mindful about how we go about this to, one, continue his legacy, and two, we're kind of learning as we go, but it's been a lot of fun.
Legacy, but Timothy's alive and well and living
in
Arizona.
Yes, he is.
And coming
yes.
here as well.
Hi, Tim.
Steve Geyer, Shadowbox. You can have dinner, you can have drinks, you can see great shows, and you don't have to go way out of town to do it. Talk to me.
Yeah, and boy, are we excited about that. You know, getting our new operation up and running downtown was the biggest, most important change we could ever make. Thank God for those years we had at Easton to learn and grow and have a home. But once we made it into the brewery district, everything changed. The home itself is beautiful. It's warm. It's inviting. You just feel comfortable the moment you walk in. It has encouraged us to be more creative than we've been in a while, to be completely honest. And as a place for our patrons to just simply enjoy the entire experience, it's ideal. You know, no more waiting between the bathrooms and footlockers. So,
when I go to Shadowbox, I'm going to go. I'm going to bring somebody with me. I don't know what to expect because, I mean, I'm not going to see My Fair Lady. I mean, I'm not going to see a title that might resonate with me. Mm-hmm. So after I've had my dinner and my highball and I go into the theater, what should I expect? What am I going to see? What kind of a show am I going to see?
Okay, well, you've asked a complex question, Christopher. You know, on Wednesday nights, you're going to see a Stage 2 production. Right now, we're wrapping up Killer Blues, which is an evening of traditional theater, albeit theatrical shorts, everything from one acts to monologues to poems. And it's all wrapped up with blues music. on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night, you'll see our sketch comedy and rock and roll show. We're in the middle of Body Language right now. Very sexy, very romantic. You know, the music ranges everywhere from Jimi Hendrix to Seal. So it's just all over the place. And a very fun date night, shall I say. And on Sundays, we're doing Rent right now. So
the show Rent, which is / La Boheme. And speaking of La Boheme, how's that for a segue?
Yeah, nice segue.
Am I not great? Yeah. Tell me about you're branching out a little bit.
I think that's fair to say. I think that the genesis for this madness was probably working with Bally Met last year on Seven Deadly Sins. And that inspired some other folks to their own insane choices. And Bill Connor asked me about the possibility of meeting with some folks from Opera Columbus and just kind of talking and seeing if there was any resonance there. I met with Peggy Dye, who is, I think she's the educational director for Opera Columbus right now.
She's a great singer, too.
She's terrific.
And she's a looker. But
Actually, that was the very next thing I was going to say, Christopher. Yeah, she's gorgeous. Yeah. And it's inside and out. And that makes her an awful lot of fun to work with. And as we were sitting around just talking about various things that might happen with the opera at this point in Columbus, where, you know, it's an opportunity for them to begin again.
So what are you going to do?
She suggested the possibility of doing something at Shadowbox. So as we were talking, and then Bill got engaged in the conversation, said, look, I have seen in London this cut-down version of various operas that they do in a bar with a piano and a small cast. And I said, well, that's awesome. I think that would be really cool. A whole different sort of audience could see that. So we began that conversation with Peggy, and she said, you know, that's a great idea. I'm already working with a company here in Canada that is really unusual.
Yeah, they're very fine.
Extraordinary
yeah.
things. So I'm up for trying something unusual. So we're going to do that this fall in October. We're going to work with Opera Columbus to do something at the Backstage Bistro that involves probably, you know, four or five principal performers and another four or five chorus performers. And we're going to do a reduced version of La Boheme at Shadowbox in the fall.
Now, is she still going to die with her little frozen hand in the muff? Because I weep like a baby. I don't care who. And everybody
then
will.
Yes.
You'll sell a lot of, you know, refreshment that night. I think people will need to recover. That's a wonderful idea. And I think you'd be, forgive me, terrific at staging operas. So I'm delighted to hear that that's going on. Now, Milt Buffman, head of the Greater Columbus Arts Council, GCAC, I think of you as the daddy of the arts.
It's not the gray hair.
In Columbus. I'm grayer than you are. What's going on at Greater Columbus Arts Council? What's your bird's eye view of what these folks are doing and their colleagues?
Well, these folks, in addition to both selling out, as you said, also share another thing. And they helped us kick off 200 Columbus, the bicentennial year this year, with really important and very successful concerts on New Year's Eve. And that's really where there's been a lot of focus in the arts community this year, is around the bicentennial and how the arts community can participate and show off during this period where we're trying to lift community pride, and how better to do that than through our arts organizations in the community. So a lot of our attention, and actually it goes back much longer than I'd like to admit, has been on helping celebrate the bicentennial, help our arts groups in the community showcase their performances and collaborations. Over the last 10 or 11 days, I think there have been something like 40 different events related to the bicentennial, with, of course, the birthday this Tuesday, but also events that started even in January with a number of arts groups that are continuing as we speak and through the weekend.
You just said how better to celebrate the bicentennial on a national level, international level, in this age of instant news, than with the arts. And everybody would agree with that. But when you say that to the movers and shakers and the money people here in town, I mean, everybody says it's a great idea, but give me some more. Are they coughing up?
Well, I mean, there's certainly been a lot of support to the bicentennial.
Right.
And credit for that really goes to the leadership in the Bicentennial Steering Committee, Ty Marsh and Jamie Green, who's been the project manager and has been working on this project for literally years. And Ty and Jamie have worked real hard in terms of getting promotional support, which a lot of that has translated into the advertising we see that's regional and and even beyond the region. But that's been really important, and it's also provided a platform for showing off what our arts community can do. Go to 200columbus.com. You'll find there a program guide for events coming up that's heavily influenced by arts events in the community.
Given your position, I know you have to be conversant at least with at some level with everything that's going on stages and in galleries and museums and concert halls and theaters, et cetera, in our area. Do you have a wish list of the kind of thing you'd really like to see going on that would best promote the city for the bicentennial?
Well, I think, to me, one of the things that we have to do, I think we underestimate the arts community in this city. And I'm sure many cities say the same thing, but we've got so much talent and so much depth of programming and breadth of programming. I would love to see us, and I include GCAC in that, find ways to raise the profile of the arts organizations and community. They mean so much to many people, but we don't look at it maybe in as an ecosystem. We really kind of look at it individually because we all have our individual favorites. But it's a wonderful resource in this community, and we have a great following.
Yeah, and I think in some levels it's still a best-kept secret. We say that every year, and the papers cover it, we cover it, everybody covers it, but I feel like sometimes we have to literally scream from the rooftops that there are things in this town you need to see and hear.
And I think it's up to us individually to do
that. Yeah, I think so, too.
I think you're really right. You know, people ask me that, and I think we have to share it with our friends and people that we know and say, did you see Jazz Moves? Did you see Shadow Box? Or did you go to the Pro Music concert and talk about what we enjoy? Because I think that word of mouth is the most compelling argument in favor of the arts.
Date nights are good. Bring people along. I took my wife when we were dating to Siegfried of Wagner, and she's not an opera lover, and she still married me. And it had subtitles, and the titles that were new back then, and she kept saying, this Siegfried's got a mouth on him, my God. And so, I mean, she related in a different and wonderful way. I'm Christopher Purdy. We are at All Sides Weekend today. We're talking with Milt Boffman from GCAC, Janet Chen from ProMusica, and Steve Geyer from Shadowbox. And we will welcome your phone calls. 292-8513. You can also send an email to allsides@wosu.org or find us on Facebook. One more time, 292-8513. We're going to take a break right now and be back in 1 minute.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we don't just interview influential people, we challenge them. Here's noted natural foods advocate Michael Pollan on the subject of ring dings.
I would look at the package next time. That creamy is not cream.
Well, you know what? You may know a lot about food, but you don't know the first thing about living, buddy.
I'm Peter Sagal. Join us for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the delicious news quiz that's no good for you at all from NPR.
And Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me tomorrow morning at 11 on 89.7 NPR News. 41 degrees with sunshine in downtown Columbus and sunny skies and mild temperatures continue. A high of 46 degrees today. Partly cloudy tonight and a low of 29. Partly sunny and a high of 46 for Saturday and cloud Saturday night, a low of 26 degrees. And then cloudy on Sunday, not quite as warm, a high of 34 degrees. This is 89.7 NPR News, and All Sides Weekend continues.
Support for 89.7 comes from Clintonville Academy, offering college prep education for pre-kindergarten through 8th grades and hosting an open house on Sunday, February 26th from 2 to 4 p.m. with faculty and tours available. Details at clintonvilleacademy.org.
Thank you, our producer, Amy Jurevich. We're back. I'm Christopher Purdy with three guests talking about arts and culture in Central Ohio. Again, the number, 292-8513. We welcome your phone calls. You can also send an email to allsides@wosu.org. I wanted to ask Steve Geyer from Shadowbox and Janet Chen from ProMusica if you two, as presenters and producers, could talk about the impact of the Columbus Bicentennial on what you do and maybe what other people around in the arts do.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well, I can start. You know, there has been a lot of discussion leading up into this bicentennial year about how the arts groups can come together and one contribute to celebrate this city. And also, I think, as a platform and opportunity for us to really elevate and showcase ourselves as a great entity here in the city of Columbus. What ProMusica decided to do was, one, as Milt referred to it earlier, was to help kick off the bicentennial. We celebrated December 31, a New Year's Eve concert and really party. It's the first time that we've ever done it. And the idea was, one, to help the city launch 2012, but we also plan this December, coming December, to help close the bicentennial. So, you know, we kind of view ourselves as a welcome celebration and then, you know, the end of going into 2013, which will be here soon. So we kicked that off. We partnered with, you know, First Night Columbus as part of that effort. It was, the idea was that you could come and come to the Westin Hotel, which I understand was a partner for this bicentennial year, and we also had a concert at Southern Theater, but then we also helped usher all of our audiences down to the Cosi area where all the other festivities that evening
were held. You literally took them down there.
We provided them with all the information and encouraged them to really, you know, be part of that city celebration. And the other thing that we are doing actually is launching a new summer series at Franklin Park Conservatory. They're another partner that we decided to go to for this this year. The idea is, in discussing this with Franklin Park, was to bring together two, I think, you know, what we view as important arts institutions here, and finding a way to sort of merge our mission, so to speak. But we'll be doing a concert in July, two in July and one in August. It will be outdoors. It will be free for the community. And we are specifically sort of targeting the area around Franklin Park because, you know, I think there is a need for folks to bring their kids, you know, to see Franklin Park, to see the grounds, to see the botanical gardens. It'll be very light fare, but also, you know, a free celebration of what Columbus has to offer.
It's a terrific idea.
So we're excited about that.
I look forward to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Steve Geyer, Shadowbox, how are they partying?
It's kind of all we do. We also had a kickoff event on New Year's, which was fabulous. We kind of counted down the top 20 rock anthems of all time, which was a lot of
fun.
Can
you name some of them right now?
Oh, yeah. We did Baba O'Reilly by The Who. It's the famous Who piece with the violins in it.
Some of you are too young, but I know exactly what's going on.
Bohemian Rhapsody for Queen. You know, so it was one of those everybody's favorites that they don't hear on the radio too much anymore. And so it was just a really fun night. And it was a great way to say, you know, Shadowbox is an important part of the fabric of the, I don't know, middle age. Just call us baby boomers. That's what we are. That remembers those times very fondly, and now is pushing forward into this new millennia with renewed energy. And that's kind of our focus for this bicentennial year. We're trying to express the best things about the last 100 years. As this new 100 years comes up. For example, the city has asked us to bring Back to the Garden back to the Columbus Commons for the Memorial Day Sunday, which we're thrilled to do. It's just such an incredibly fun show. But it probably says one of the most powerful things that can be said about the 20th century. And it's fun to do that show and remind people of what that era meant and why it was powerful and why it informs today. So that's kind of part of our mission through this year, is we're trying desperately to hearken back to a lot of beautiful things. The next show we're doing on stage two is called The Torch Songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, talk about that a little. That sounds intriguing.
Well, and what we're doing is we're bringing back some theater that is reminiscent of the 40s and 30s and evoking an era. We're bringing back music, of course, from that same era. Some great poetry, some things written by Ferlinghetti and Bukowski that were written about that era.
Retro sells, right? People like retro. Yeah.
And it's important because it was a great time. Yeah. And we're just trying to say, look, let's not forget about these things. They're wonderful. Let's celebrate them. So as we move forward, and I know that people kind of tend to think of Shadowbox as maybe out there on that front edge. We're enjoying representing things that have gone before, things that have informed us and are helping us to create this new world that we live in.
Well, I think that's another thing that your two organizations, ProMusica and Shadowbox, have in common, because you do balance very well what was, what worked, mm-hmm. and what people liked and what people don't know mm-hmm. and need to know. And that's yeah. that's germane to your mission at ProMusica, isn't it?
It is, yeah. very much. I mean, you know, as I was describing earlier, the program that we have this weekend, I think, really emphasizes that. And I think as we all, you know, all of the arts groups, when we get together and we discuss challenges and we discuss opportunities, the question that keeps coming up is how to reach our audiences and how to market ourselves to these audiences. And Chris, you were saying, you know, where's the buzz and what's the buzz? So which is a wonderful question, because I think we all think about that. And I had a conversation with a friend about this issue a while ago, and she said to me, she said, you know, you have to think about, we often produce works that, you know, were contemporary at that time, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, and we're really delivering the same product. The artistic product has not changed, but right. it's just how you go about delivering it and how you go about presenting it that I think, you know, is a way that we're all thinking creatively, you know, whether it's a venue option, whether it's the experience that, you know, you get when you go into the venue, whether you can bring food in or if you can have a drink. I think those are, it sounds very minor, but I think it's a big influence.
No, I think it's
to
a huge
participants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the models have been broken. The old ones are a little bit archaic now that we're used to mm-hmm. sitting in the dark at 8 p.m. someplace. That's right. marvelous for a lot of things, but you need to do a little bit more, I think, and that's mm-hmm. what you're saying
we're
about.
Trying to do.
We have a caller, an OSU student who wants to talk about the arts and OSU students. Karsik, are you there?
Hi. I was wondering, I'm an Ohio State student, and how can we actually help proliferate the arts here in Columbus, Ohio, because I'm an engineering student, and I don't really see any emphasis placed on the arts from my perspective, whether it be from my peers and colleagues or whether it be from the university itself.
You know, I think, unfortunately, it requires a fair amount of aggressive behavior on your part. You know, you have to go out and kind of find things. And what's important is to try a lot of different things and talk about them. At Shadowbox, we can't really afford advertising. So we encourage our patrons to talk about their experience. And that's really what it's all about. If you want to truly have an impact and make arts a more important part of your life and a more vibrant part of the city's life, talk about your experiences, let people know what you think, and be honest, be ruthless. I mean, that's something else that's important to the arts. We need to know when it's not good, and we also need to celebrate when it's wonderful.
Karsik, I want to ask you a quick question. Are you a member of the Wexner Center? Because I think it's free for you as a student.
I'm not sure if I'm considered a member or not, but I've visited the Wexner Center. I can't even count how many
okay.
times.
Okay, but my understanding is, and I could be wrong, but my understanding is at least there's a discounted or free membership for OSU students for the Wexner Center.
That's correct.
Right, that is a go-to place worldwide, you know, mm-hmm. for film, for music, for, you know, everything that might be of interest, I think.
I think the other way, Karsik, to see what's going on is look at columbusarts.com. ColumbusArts.com, because that provides the broadest survey we have available right now of what's going on in the community, and it does underscore those events that are free. But certainly, Steve's right. You know, try some things out, talk to your friends, see what they're doing too.
Karsik, thank you for your call.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
And we have an email from Steve, and I like this email a lot. He says, I had a very cultural weekend last weekend. I went to see Jazz Move Columbus and the Rubinstein Kiss, which is at Catco, a very powerful play. My sister took her kids to see the Blue Man Group. It was great to see so many people downtown enjoying the arts. I sat in traffic trying to get into the parking garage, which was a good problem.
Yeah.
So thank you, Steve, for
that.
Yeah, there was a lot going on just around the periphery of the Capitol area mm-hmm. there between Catco and the Southern and the Ohio theaters.
Mm-hmm. Now, as I said, I think there were over 40 different things going on over the last 10 days.
Right.
And the Jazz Moves, the rollout of the WOSU Neighborhood Series.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Downtown in Franklinton, which is a great piece that was showcased earlier this week and has been available in a couple of other forums. And WOSU TV has just done such a great job
with
that. I think
Franklinton is the fourth installment. I could be wrong.
Yeah, fourth or fifth.
They've done German Village. Village and the University District. Right. And hats off to my wonderful colleagues in TV because, yes, if you haven't seen that yet, check it out because they're really – my wife grew up in Franklinton, and she sat there and cried. I mean, because there were things that she didn't know about and, and, you know, brought back things to her.
You know, the other thing that we have has kicked off is Public Art 2012 that started really in January. It's a program to for temporary public art in the community. It started out with chimes at Trinity Episcopal Church on 3rd and Broad, and every month a new composition is being played by those chimes. The same thing that's happened in January is the lighting of the west side of Kosai by Stuart Williams, a world-renowned artist. And this is the beginning of what could be as many as 14 different temporary art projects around primarily the downtown area. That there's some real excitement around that, and we think people have fun with that.
I want to get back to downtown in just a moment, but I want to remind everybody, call us, 292-8513. Send an email to allsides@wosu.org or find us on Facebook, All Sides Weekend, the Arts. Again, 292-8513. Are you feeling the buzz of the arts in Columbus? Are you getting it, or are you missing it? Let us know that. Again, 292-8513. The mantra has been, we've got to bring back downtown. And you hear that in any medium-sized city in the country. This gentleman, Steve, who emailed us, said downtown was full this past weekend. Can we get it full every weekend? I mean, do we have a finite audience here?
No.
Good.
I can tell you from the perspective of Shadowbox, we've barely even begun to scratch the surface.
Right.
And it's thrilling to speak with, you know, I spend a moment at the end of every show actually talking directly to the audience as people exit the theater. And it gives me a chance to hear that people are from Pittsburgh and they're from Indianapolis and Cleveland and Cincinnati and Wheeling, West Virginia. It blows my mind how far people travel to see these shows. And when they come to see a show at Shadowbox, they're not here just for that one show. They tend to stay in a hotel and go somewhere else the next night. You know, they're here for a Columbus cultural experience because they can't have a similar experience in their city. Now, I'm not saying you can't have great experiences in those other cities. You can. But we offer different sorts of things here, and they're unique. And they're wonderful, and people really crave that experience. So I think the audience is absolutely unlimited.
And I do think that a lot of our organizations locally, and I very much include you two, have done a wonderful job. I hate that this is a word you have to use, branding. You know, you know, saying that Pearl Music is where you go if you want to hear Haydn and Astor Piazzolla on the same program.
Right.
And a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Shadowbox is where if you want to see really new work, the ink is wet, and, you know, that's where you want to go to have a really buzzy, good time. Speaking of buzz, our phone lines are filling up. Anya, our wonderful phone screener, is doing her best, but do be patient, and we'll get to you as soon as we can. So if someone's buzzing out there, I mean, sir, that's good to hear that. There's theater, there's dance, there's museum. The museum is now having the Caravaggio show, which is bringing all kinds of – and the museum, I think, is also working very hard to bring people in.
No, they've had a number of really important exhibitions. You mentioned Caravaggio. They've also have got other programs that are coming along that going forward that are going to be really important for the community. And so keep an eye on what the museum is doing. They're doing some real good things.
We have a call from, I'm going to murder this name, and I'm sorry, Dardre, you can correct me, who's a local artist. Hi, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, it's Deirdre.
Thank you, Deirdre. Thank you.
So I'm a local artist and musician here, and I'm listening to this, and it's awesome to hear about all of these big shows coming through and what you guys have to say about it and making that stuff available. But I feel like there's so many local musicians and local artists that are being creative and putting some amazing things out there, but we are not being heard. I feel like a lot of these bigger things get attention. Where do we as small local artists, musicians, put our stuff out there so that we can approach a larger audience and they can see that we are actually doing these things here?
Good question. Can I just ask what your discipline is, what you play or sing or what?
I'm a vocalist.
Okay.
I sing poetry, and then I make weird noises
Oh, good.
With my mouth.
Even better. Thank you. Let's see what our panel has to say. Thank you for your call.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think, Deirdre, your comment is really right on, and it is a challenge, and particularly we see at GCAC the need to put as much emphasis as we can on individual artists in emerging art groups. One of the things that has been fun about the bicentennial that's just rolled out is a Columbus in Song program where solicited songs for the bicentennial, original work, over 120 songs were submitted. If you go to 200columbus.com, you can see what's been brought down to a finalist list of 29 from the community that are all going to be showcased and voted upon by the general public over the next 6 weeks or so. And the 10 winners, as chosen by the people, People's Choice, are going to be put on a CD along with the bicentennial anthem that Milt Ruffin put together.
Ah.
So there's some real your point is good, and I think we want to try to find vehicles, whether it's Columbus and Song or things with the Cultural Arts Center, that can help emerging artists, individual artists, showcase their work.
GCAC funds individual artists, don't they?
Oh, definitely. Last year we funded over 50 different individual artists.
Now, when you do that, are you looking for specifically the quality that they present in their application process, or quality plus how many people can they serve?
Well, it's a mixed thing, but certainly the quality and what their needs are. I mean, we have everything from supply grants of up to $500 for individual artists to artist residencies locally, recognition of artists through various programs, a Dresden residency. So there are a number of different programs, and I'd encourage artists to look at GCAC.org under grant programs, and they could see a good outline of how those programs work and the qualifications and so forth.
Good to know. Thank you. Our phones, we have some lines open, but we're getting busy. If you want to give us a comment via email, that might be a bit quicker for you, allsides@wosu.org. We have a call from Charlie. Hi, Charlie. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead.
How are you?
Good.
Thanks. I am on the board of a small not-for-profit in Logan, Ohio, in the center of the Hocking Hills, called the Bowen House. And we support the Appalachian arts in Hocking Hills. And I'm wondering if there's some tie-in to GCAC so that we can get our message out to a broader community. We're working on artists in residence there as well. And just wonder if you could comment on that.
That might be a question for the Ohio Arts Council.
No, you're absolutely right, Christopher. GCAC is funded by the City of Columbus through a share of the hotel motel bed tax, but the Ohio Arts Council is really a really important source of support and funding, and I think that would be the place to go, Charlie.
And they have a concentration. I think they have an officer whose job it is to work with the Appalachian community elsewhere in the state.
Too.
So, yeah, we
it's
have
a good question.
There's a lot. Yeah, it's a great question. We have a lot of good resources. What we have to do right now is take a quick break. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend. We'll be back in 90 seconds. We'll get to your calls just as soon as we can. Thank you.
On Fresh Air, you'll hear conversations that you won't hear anywhere else.
Do you understand love?
Well, I understand caring. See, most of my relationships are more intellect, and to me, love is caring.
Posing questions to fascinating people like Temple Grandin and giving them the time to answer on Fresh Air.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon. On today's Fresh Air, Fresh Air will replay some of Terry Gross's interview with Pulitzer Prize winning journalist Anthony Shadid, who spent most of his professional life covering the Middle East. Shadid died Thursday while on assignment in Syria. That's on Fresh Air at noon on 89.7 NPR News.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Physicians Free Clinic and Voluntary Care Network, providing charity medical care for Central Ohio's uninsured patients. More about joining the Columbus Medical Association Foundation and supporting the clinic is at goodhealthcolumbus.org.
WOSU Public Media will host Chefs in the City Thursday, May 3rd from 5:30 until 10 p.m. at WOSU at Cosi. Tickets are on sale now. Celebrity chef Hubert Keller and several of Central Ohio's finest chefs will participate in live cooking demonstrations, preparing dishes for audience members to enjoy. The event will also feature a cookbook signing, a silent auction, and will be taped for TV. A limited number of tickets are on sale now. Visit WOSU.org/chefs. For more information. Sunshine today, a high of 46 degrees. All Sides Weekend continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Thank you, our producer, Amy Jurevich. Thank you. Milt Boffman is here from the Greater Columbus Arts Council, Janet Chen, the executive director of Pro Musica, and Steve Geyer, the artistic director of Shadowbox. I'm Christopher Purdy, and Kim has been holding for a while, so I want to get to Kim, who I believe is a local artist. Hi, Kim.
Actually, no, I'm not a local artist. I'm the president of a local foundation that presents an annual convention that highlights a lot of our local artists. And I was wondering what the GCAC money is and how to find out about it, because we highlight these people. We come from a literary tradition. However, we include music, and we have a fabulous art show. We have been working with the College of Art and Design to get artists and show them as students. But we've also been trying to get local authors and musicians. So,
can I ask the name of your foundation?
The convention is MarCon.
Okay.
And it's held at the Hyatt Regency every year. We're this year April 6th to 8th. And it's a great way for people to come down and see the local talent.
Thanks. Well, let's see what...
Sure. No, I'm glad you called, Kim. I'm not sure I'll pick up all the questions you asked, but Greater Columbus Arts Council is primarily funded through the City of Columbus, which we appreciate, and with a share of the hotel motel bed tax. And one of our major responsibilities is really a granting agencies, and we have programs for operating support, project support, and individual artists, as I mentioned earlier. And we've worked with the library groups, Ohio Anna Library, Thurber House. We've got a number of different, over 80 organizations we funded last year, and over 50 individual artists. Would love to chat with you whenever it's convenient. Take a look at our website, GreaterColumbusArtsCouncil.org. See how our programs lay off against what you're trying to do, and we'd love to chat about it.
Thank you very much, Kim, for your call. I want to get to one more call, and then I have a question for Steve Geyer. Paula is here, wants to know about poetry slams. This is great. Go ahead. Paula?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to tell you about a number of poetry venues in town in Columbus that include poetry slam. I was prompted especially by the caller who called in from OSU from campus. One of the really hot venues is at Cafe Kerouac, which is very close to campus. We're very close to Lane and High Street. Scott Woods and Vernell Bristow co-host the event. Scott Woods is actually the president of Poetry Slam International. So they have an open mic every Wednesday night, and about once a month or so, there's a slam. The last 2 years, Columbus hosted the Women of the World World Poetry Slam, which is really exciting. We have a Columbus poet, Rachel Wiley, who was fourth at that slam last year. That's fourth in the world. So it was very, very exciting. There's another venue, Urban Spirit Cafe is on Writing Wrongs Poetry, which is held upstairs on Tuesday nights. Monday nights is at Rumba Cafe. There's a venue there.
See, there's
an
embarrassment of riches going on. There's
yes,
so much going on. I have to move on, Paula, but I'm very glad to know about all that stuff, and thank you very much for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Poetry slams are, first of all, it's a nice, I guess, cutting-edge or hip way to say that, but it works clearly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've been talking about individual artists who want recognition or small companies who say, you know, why don't you know about us? And, okay, I may not know about some of you. Where does quality fit in to this equation? Steve?
Quality is at the top of the equation. You know, at the end of the day, as a small time artist, you know, somebody just getting started, whatever that descriptor is. It's the quality of what you do that causes the people who see what you do to talk about it to their friends. And if the things that they're saying are positive, then eventually those friends will come and see you as well. And it just grows from there. Shadowbox is a pretty good example of this. 23 years ago when we got started, I think it would be fair to say that we sucked. And there weren't a lot of really great things being said about us at that point, and our audiences were really small. And over time, we figured out that they were probably right and we were wrong, and so we began to change and to grow and to grow up. And as we did and figured out a few things and got better at it and encouraged our audiences to talk to one another, the audiences grew. But that's a consequence of working really hard and really long.
23 years ago, did you expect instant recognition? I'm not saying people do, but there is a trend out there. Come on. People really,
yes.
They want it now.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
We were geniuses.
Right.
I can't believe it took Columbus 23 years. You know, I only wish that were true. I mean, you know, the reality, of course, is, yes, we thought we were really good at what we did, and we needed people to tell us, wait a second, you're really not that good. And it takes a while for that to sink in, because first you have to go through your feelings being hurt, and then you start figuring out the work that needs to be done.
But the other thing, too, is I think Columbus is moving towards being a real community where you can get better.
Absolutely.
You can improve.
There is no better community. Columbus will actually embrace you even if you do suck.
They did me.
They'll tell you you're not good, but I love your attitude. I love your energy and your passion. We're going to keep supporting you. And as long as you then take the steps to grow, they're right there with you. I've never seen a town like Columbus in terms of its willingness to put its arms around young, innovative, and I don't mean young in age, but I mean young in attitude, and innovative artists, regardless of their quality, and encourage them as they grow. This town's got amazing energy in that regard.
I always become the bad guy for this program, and that's okay, because I want to ask Janet and Steve and Milt, what is the responsibility to the existing audience to grow the audience in Columbus? It's like I buy a ticket and my job is done. You know, I show up, my job is done. I don't know if that's going to be true anymore.
That's a great question. And I think that that's a question that we constantly struggle with, because I think art is all about a mutual connection. And what we produce as artists and what we can get across to our audiences who do buy the ticket, hopefully what we've conveyed is some sort of feeling that either I want to come back, or I want to talk about it, or I want to bring a friend to a show. All of those mechanisms, I think, are what we strive for as artists in terms of making our art form known. Would you agree with that?
I totally agree. And I think Pro Musica does something really, really smart and has for a very long time. They put something on their program that people know and love and are excited to go and hear. And then they surprise them with something they have no idea about, which they turn out to like in spite of themselves. And it tends to grow their understanding, it grows their awareness, and it's worth talking about. And that sort of attitude that you guys have inspires your audience. And so the audience naturally grows and it gets younger.
Audiences there. Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. I think, you know, to your point, you know, and you touched upon this, Christopher, is the idea of, you know, commissioning new works and you know, our contribution to the music of today. That's a big thing for us. And, you know, as described, you know, this weekend, you can come and hear a piece that was written 300 years ago and then you hear a piece that was written 20 years ago. Sometimes you'll come and hear a piece that was written 2 months ago. So that combination of that, I think, is what we're trying to stimulate our audiences to believe in and to understand and to experience.
I think what motivated my question was I'm sitting here thinking of all of the disciplines and areas in the arts where Columbus does really, really well. I'm thinking of dance, ballet med. I'm thinking of the OSU dance department. I'm thinking of Timothy Veach's company, music, theater, improvisation, museums, galleries. We haven't missed anything, really. And yet people will call and say, I didn't know. I don't know this is going on. And it is out there. You guys are good marketers. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is out there. So I guess maybe we just have to keep the message coming.
Well, I think it would be helpful to know how people want to receive the information. You know, that's the question is, where, where should we be? Where should we be to get your attention? Where should we be so, you know, you're aware of what's going on this weekend? And are you, for us, Pro Musica specifically, it would be helpful to know, are you wanting to come to a concert but making that decision 2 days before the event? I think all of these habits, I think are helpful and beneficial to arts organizations as we determine how best to get our message and word out there.
Oh, and social media is such a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not doing the Facebook, right. Twitter, and massive website thing, you're missing the boat. I mean, Shadowbox does hundreds of thousands of hits a year. That's the essence of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to do that. But in order to do that, you also have to educate your audience that you're going to, and you have to elicit their response.
Right.
Well, Milt, there is a one-stop shopping website. Again, Columbus there Arts.
ColumbusArts.com does give you that menu. And I think Steve and Jan have made really good points, because audience tastes and their actions have changed. People are not buying subscriptions now.
Right. That was the
series.
Old model, right.
And now they're more spur of the moment, and they want to sample different things. And I think the arts groups are trying really hard to take advantage of those changes.
I know a lot of organizations, I'm most familiar with the Columbus Symphony, they have to start a little late because there's a walk-up line at the box office, and that's a good reason to wait, because people come at the last minute, and sometimes they're sneaking out down State Street. I've seen that happen. Amy from Delaware is the mom of a 7-year-old and a 2-year-old. If your guests can recommend some family-friendly arts events programming for young children, they love PBJ and jazz, and they're looking for more opportunities like it.
Well, I can speak to that. Aside from just, you know, our performances at the Southern Theater and in the Josephinum, we do an array, a very wide array of educational programs for children and families. We are in the libraries. We are at the museum. Last Sunday, we were at the downtown library, and we did a free hour-long concert pairing just music and actually pairing it with books that the children can check out after the concert. If you go to our website, which is promusicacolumbus.org, and you click on the education tab, that you will find all of the offerings. And if you'd like, please give me a call, and I'm happy to send you some information.
That's Janet Chen at Pro Musica.
And I just mention a couple other things. The Columbus Museum of Art has what I won't
great.
Get the title, but a creative center, which is really, really focused on younger people and hands-on artwork. The other thing is that Thurber House has a great young writers workshop, which might be a little above the age of the children the caller had, but they do some really interesting thing with young people who are interested in writing.
And the Lincoln Theater has a jazz academy.
Oh, my gosh.
That's terrific. Yeah. You know, that's I mean, again, it's a good town to live in if you have young children and you want to get them really exposed to really the best the community has to offer. Samantha wants to make it known, and she's a recent graduate of CCAD. She's a current advocate for Emerging Artists Columbus. This is a great city for the arts community. It's helping to fuel this creative renaissance by pouring fresh and exciting energy in the mix. We are lucky to have such energy in this city. I can only agree with Samantha. Thank you very much for that. We have time for a couple of more calls. We're about 6 minutes away from saying good afternoon to you. 292-8513, or send an email to allsides@wosu.org. I'm Christopher Purdy. I'm the host of today's edition of All Sides Weekend, where we talk about the arts and culture in Central Ohio, with Milt Boffman from GCAC, Steve Geyer from Shadowbox, and Janet Chen from Pro Musica. Steve Geyer, I want to ask you the process, because as I understand it, everything you present is new work.
Well, it's not
except
not
Love Women, but yeah,
it's a mix, Christopher. When it comes to the comedy that we do, that's all new.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the musicals, it's, I don't know, we're about 25% original and 75% well-known works. It's a matter for us of kind of discovery, you know, what's working, what's not working. A big part of what we're moving into right now, you know, we did the project with Ballet Met last year and wrote an opera for them, and
Seven Deadly Sins.
Right? We're in the process of writing a new opera. In fact, I came straight here from a writing session today. We're deconstructing Schoenberg's three movements right now as a part of the.
You two need to have lunch.
To talk.
Yeah,
I would love to. But yeah, I mean, that's all part of what we do to kind of keep ourselves excited and invigorated, and so that it doesn't feel like we're just kind of recreating all the time.
Do you sit in a room with a bunch of writers and just yell at each other?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the process begins with a typical pitch meeting, and then you get writers pitching ideas and everybody making fun of them. And it takes an incredibly thick skin, but at the end of the day, that's the sort of thing that produces great quality. You just can't do the sort of thing that comedy requires by sitting alone in a bedroom. It's just not possible.
Right. We have a call from Dale in Delaware. Hi, Dale.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I'd like to say hi to Deirdre, too. Deirdre and myself are both part of a community of artists and musicians that are improvisational in character and kind of cross-cultural and very diverse, and there's some extreme talent in this town. And one of the things that I would really like to incorporate into some of our sessions would be more artists that are trained in a classical genre and see how that would interpose with the jazz/... crazy improv stuff that we've been doing, but I have a hard time crossing over because I don't know anybody from the classical music community.
First of all, call the School of Music at Ohio State. Call them and tell them what you just told us. And if you want to call me separately at the station, I can give you some names. That's a
great
suggestion. Anybody?
Yes.
Janet, you want to take that? Or?
Absolutely. You can call us at ProMusica, and we can get a better understanding as to what you're looking for and what kind of resources you need, and we can certainly help make any connections that we can. We have a number of our musicians that are also professors at Ohio State, so I think along with Christopher's suggestion, just give us a shout.
And I want to just mention this.
What's the number of the OSU Music Department?
I don't know. You'll have to call me. Call the station later, and I'll get that for you. Go ahead, Steve.
I just want to mention that I think that, broadly speaking, the kind of thing that you're talking about is exciting to everybody. Mm-hmm. There are very few people who are going to hear that idea and say, not interested. I think most folks are going to think, that sounds pretty cool. Let's talk. So pretty much anybody you want to reach out to, reach out to them.
And I should make the point that this is a great community where you can train to be an artist. Mm-hmm. OSU has great theater, dance, and music. Capital has wonderful music. Otterbein has great theater.
Otterbein is
wonderful.
Yeah.
CCAD?
CCAD, absolutely. With no question. That's a wonderful think tank down there at CCAD as well. Okay, we have 2 minutes left. I want to just give us a little wrap-up with final thoughts. And, Janet Chen, where are we going this weekend?
We are going to be at the Josephinum on Saturday in Worthington. As I mentioned, it's our second venue. It's actually, I don't know if anyone knows, it's the only piece of Vatican land in North America, which is really quite neat. It's a different experience. You know, we're doing basically the same program, but to go there and to feel like you are almost in Europe with this cathedral setting, you know, the acoustics are challenging, but it's just wonderful and warming.
You can't bring beer in there, though.
You can't bring beer.
But it's a lovely venue.
You can have beer after.
You can have it after.
Yeah. And then we'll be downtown Southern Theater, which has just been a jewel of our home.
So. Haydn, Piazzolla, and Osvaldo Golyov, right?
Yes, and a Corelli. We're throwing in a Corelli.
Oh, just for fun. Okay.
Just for fun.
There you go.
Yeah.
Steve Geyer, what are we doing this weekend?
Well, we're more of what we always do every weekend, Christopher. We've got a great show, Body Language, rolling tonight and tomorrow night, although the early show tomorrow is already sold out, so sorry about that. Rent, two shows on Sunday, which are exciting, and we've got movie night on Monday and stand-up comics coming in working with us on Tuesday. And so, yeah, we're just constantly ridiculously busy.
And Milt Baufman and I sit with our feet up probably on weekends and in our lounge chairs watching videos. I don't know yet.
I tried but a couple things that are coming up just to get on people's radar. One would be the Columbus Gay Men's Chorus Home and Country concert coming up.
Is that the Lincoln?
It is. The Jazz Arts Group has got their Beyond the Blackberry Patch world premiere the first weekend in March. Opening of the summer, we'll see the opening of the Columbus Commons Pavilion.
My thanks to my panel, Janet Chen, Steve Geyer, and Milt Baufman. Thank you, Amy Jurovich. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus, streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.